This is a year of breakthrough. And part of the breakthrough is God fulfilling, like we just sang, by his unfailing faithfulness, God fulfilling his promise to his people. And so there's a lot of things that are on the calendar of heaven for your life this year. And we want to press into those in faith and receive everything and accomplish everything that heaven has planned for the season of time. Ladies, a reminder, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. will be the first service in Women on the Front Lines here. And you are invited, and there will be this place will be packed out with a couple thousand on fire ladies, most of them leaders from across the world. So it's going to be a tremendous couple of days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So if you see a cloud of glory over the church the next few days, it's because of what God's doing here. And tonight we have a real honor in recognizing the call of God on a very special couple. And I met Pastor Allen through his brother Mihai, who cuts my hair. And kept telling me about his awesome brother who pastors in Romania. And his brother came last year and now is here for several weeks. He and his wife Eva were very honored. And tonight we're going to be ordaining them as CFTN pastors. I'm going to ask them to please come forward. Yeah. Come on, Pastor Jeff, you come up please too. Jeff and your wife, join us here. Pastor Marla, anybody staff that's here. So when we ordained people, this lovely couple has already, they've established a church. Such a great story. So Pastor Allen and where's Mihai? Come on here to me. Their mother, who's here tonight, Mom, can you wave your hand at us there? There's Mama. She was the first Christian in their village. And so now her son's the pastor of the church in that town. And pastor by his own hands, built the church and has pastored it for several years. And now we've been connected. Our part of our school of Kingdom Purpose went last year with Pastor Marla and had a prophetic conference. And we're having another one, God willing, this year in October or so. And putting Marla on the spot, but I think we are. So we, you know, God's hands already on this beautiful family. But tonight we are saying as a group that Church for the Nations is your full partner in reaching the beautiful people of Romania. And I really believe that a great national awakening, spiritual awakening, is going to happen in the country of Romania. They are an intuitively spiritual people, devout people. And once they connect to the grace and love of Jesus Christ, they become powerful Christians like Pastor and his wife are. Would you stretch your love toward them as we pray over them tonight and just thank God for them. We rejoice in who God has made them to be. Father, thank you for this awesome man of God and woman of God. And tonight, Lord, as we pray for them, God, I thank you, Lord, that you've called them. And make no mistake about it, son. I've called you, the Lord says. I've ordained you. I appointed you. I put inside of your heart a passion and a fire that nothing could take away. And even in the dry and difficult moments, when there seemed to be no one to help and no one to support, and you felt exhausted and wearied, your fire never went out. And so the Lord said, I'm very proud of you. I'm proud of your devotion to me. I'm proud of the way you've surrendered your life and family to me, that you've given me these years. The Lord would just have you know this, the drought is over. And the rain of heaven is falling on your church, on your village, and on your nation. And the thing I've done in you, I will do in 50 churches, then 100 churches, and then 1,000 churches, until the country is ablaze with a visitation from heaven. And the Lord says, this is the harvest time. The fields are ready. Thank you for trusting me. Thank you for allowing me to move you into a different season, a different arena, a different expression. And now all the things I promised you 15 years ago, I'm going to do in this season. This is harvest time. And you will see my faithfulness in the land. And you will see my faithfulness in your own family. Lord, I thank you so much. God, thank you for such a godly partner. Thank you, God, for an intercessor. Thank you, God, for a tenacious woman of faith. Thank you for her prevailing heart, her enduring spirit. Thank you, God, that you have many surprises for our dear sister in this season. God, I thank you, Lord. I pray in these weeks as they spend time here, I pray, God, that you so infuse them with the riches of your love and grace and spirit that they go home, God, ready to pour out. So, God, thank you for this precious family. We ordain them into the ministry as partners with Church for the Nations. And we pray that every anointing, every grace, every capacity that you've allowed us to steward, that you would immediately let it flow in their lives. Let them feel the difference and let them move in a grace that you would have them. God, we thank you for it in Christ's name. Just keep praying, everybody. Pastor Marla, do you have a word?
I do. Thank you. So for you, Pastor Aline, I saw you dressed as a doctor. And I feel like the Lord is going to use you to bring health and bring order to the body of Christ in Romania. He's going to use you to bring health and to bring life. And I thank you for the grace that's on Pastor Aline's life, Lord, in this apostolic type function to bring the kingdom in a new expression to the church in Romania. God, I thank you. I thank you that he's not doing it alone, that you're surrounding him with your grace. This is your heart, God. This is your job. And I thank you that Pastor Aline is going to partner with you to bring new order, new life, and new grace to the body of Christ. And I saw a picture of your family on a target. And I really feel like the Lord is removing the target of the enemy over your family. I feel like there has been an attack. It's been like a hardship. And the Lord is absolutely removing you. But at the same time, which was really cool, you guys were standing on this red dot with these circles, like a big target. And I feel like the Lord wants you to know that you're smack dab in the middle of his will. Yeah, so don't doubt what he's called you to. And I just declare an ease. I declare an ease. It's going to be so easy. What you guys have contended for in blood, sweat, and tears, what you've contended for, the prophetic words and the promises over your family and over your church and over Romania, it's going to be easy. We just declare a grace and an ease in the name of Jesus.
You know, Pastor, God, the way that you build buildings, God's given you a mind to see what can be, to build things, to construct things. And in the same way, God's given you a mind to do that in the kingdom. And that's really a function of an apostolic leader. And even though you've never called yourself one, the Lord wants to call you that you are an apostle in your nation, that you're going to give birth to hundreds of leaders, and you're going to help pastor and shepherd and grow and mature and encourage the church as well as multiplying the church. And more, your heart's going to be to helping leaders. And that's an avenue and expression that God's growing in. Father, we thank you, this awesome couple. And Pastor Jeff, do you have anything you want to pray over them? Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for all that you are doing in the life of this couple. We thank you for the cross-pollination they've experienced through being here at CFTN. Father, we give you glory and honor. We thank you, God, for for all that you prophesy over their life, for all the promise that you have placed within their spirit. We thank you that you're equipping them with the faith, with the courage, and the anointing to go forth and bring your glory into Romania. You know, I just feel I want to bless the church here, Pastor. And Father, I just thank you for this church. I thank you that their hearts are big and open to embrace the nations. And I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that your anointing would be poured out in abundance upon this church to facilitate the vision that you have placed within them. Father, you've given them a unique identity, the nations. And Father, I just pray greater increase and equip your people to fulfill their true identity and call to embrace the nations. Father, thank you for their big-heartedness. Thank you for all that you are doing, the way that you have called this church to be a blessing, even as you have blessed them. So thank you, Father. We give you glory and honor. Hallelujah.
Please keep, we will keep you guys informed about what's happening more and more in Romania. Please keep them in your prayers. And some of you should come on our next trip there.
I may come to find my relatives, because when I did my DNA testing, 49% was Eastern European, which included Romania. So I've got cousins there, so I'm going to go find them.
My Romanian girl. Every week I find a new nationality in my home, and I'm really enjoying it. Hey, tonight I'm going to be continuing our series on boundaries and going into a little bit different expression of it. My title is How to Survive Unhealthy Leaders. How to Survive Unhealthy Leaders. And hopefully you won't be thinking of me as I read the story to you. Teacher, if I give you two cats, two more cats, and another two cats, how many cats would you have? Johnny, seven. No, listen very carefully, Johnny. If I give you two cats, another two, and then two more, how many cats would you have? Johnny, seven. Teacher, let me put it to you differently. If I gave you two apples, another two, and two more, how many apples would you have? Six. That's right. Good now. If you can do that same thing with cats, okay? If I give you two cats, another two cats, and two more cats, how many would he have? Johnny, seven. Johnny, what in the world do I do to help you? How can you get seven from what I'm telling you? Johnny, because I've already got a cat. Okay. Sunday was rough. I was actually booed during my joke period. And it took me all the way to Tuesday to get over it. No one's kidding. How to survive unhealthy leaders. And I just want to say this. I don't speak this in a pompous way. I have been an unhealthy leader. I hope I never am again. And, different because leaders are just people. And I like saying this. A leader in the kingdom is just a believer who has said yes to God so many times, God can't say no to them. And that's really the qualifying acts of obedience and openness to God is really the promotional power that moves us forward. But we're going to be talking about David and Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1, Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord has sent me to anoint you a king over Israel. Now go therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord. I will punish Amalek." So King Saul is anointed. The people chose him, but God anoints him. And the first thing that was on God's heart was dealing with a long-standing generational problem. You have to get this. Leadership is God's answer. And most of the problems in the world today are caused by a lack of leadership or by bad leadership, okay? For example, we have more than enough. America alone can feed the world. No one should starve on this planet. Primarily, famines and other things that happen are the consequence of really bad leaders. So God's answer in the kingdom is leadership. When God's ready to intervene in a generation, he raises up a leader. And so in the kingdom of God, the moment you got born again, you got drafted into the leadership school called the church. And in the church, God forms us to affect the culture, okay? To impact the culture with his kingdom and grace. So God has something on his mind. So there's something God wants to do right now in this world. And leaders are people that hear, respond to God's voice. So anyways, to fast forward, Saul goes to battle. He fights Amalek. But once he gets there, because God's promise was to completely destroy that nation, once Saul gets there, he's so tempted because there's wealth and there's riches and there's really promising people. So he picks out all the good stuff and destroys all the bad stuff. The sin of the life of Saul was compromise. Okay? So half obedience is disobedience. Okay? So the sin of Saul was compromise, and it created a calamity in his life. Okay? So he's chosen, he's anointed, and God's hopeful, and the prophet's hopeful, but Saul doesn't do it. So Saul keeps the best stuff for himself, and in doing so, he grieves God. So verse 17 of this chapter, 1 Samuel 15:17, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? Did not the Lord anoint you as king over Israel? It's just so important. So what authority does, authority releases hidden agendas. And it's amazing how sweet someone can be till they get a little authority. Okay? So Saul gets authority, and things that were not obvious in his life as far as character faults suddenly became tremendously apparent, and they ultimately harmed his destiny to the point of destruction. And so he was humble. All of a sudden he's king, he's anointed, he's got prestige, he's got the people's attention, approval, everything, and he doesn't obey the Lord. So as Samuel talks about it, so Saul says to Samuel, well, let's just have a great church service. I'm just going to write a big check. And Saul was trying to repair through sacrifice what he's destroyed through disobedience. I'm going to talk about that, okay? So here's the thought. In verse 22 of 1 Samuel 15, the prophet says, has the Lord so great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better. Everybody shout, to obey is better. Okay? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you rejected the word of the Lord, God has rejected you from being king. Now, the really interesting thing is this. He goes on for another over a decade in his position without an anointing. So he stays, he's functioning in a platform, in a position, but he's lost the grace to do it. And so he's a portrait of an extremely unhealthy leader. Okay? We always end up losing what we compromise to keep. We always end up losing what we compromise to keep. We cannot gain back through sacrifice what we've lost through disobedience. Now, I'm just kind of pointing out the unhealthy nature of Saul. So he was a compromising leader. And so his idea was, you can bring your wife a dozen roses. But if you've broken her heart, those roses aren't going to repair it. Okay? So we can bring to God something, but by our consistent disobedience, we can't repair through sacrifice what we've destroyed through disobedience. Okay, especially as it relates to leader, okay? Now, then he goes on and he advances it. Here's what Samuel said. To rebel against God is equivalent to God, okay, equal sign. There's an equivalency in God's eyes between rebellion and witchcraft. And then he said, to be stubborn or to refuse to bend your will to God's will is equivalent to idolatry, which is, you know, the worship of an idol. So pride is a form of idolatry. When you worship your will instead of surrendering your will to God, that's why God gets so excited about humility. It's a rare human commodity. The surrender of your will. Not my will, but yours be done. Okay? It's a big thing to God. Whenever he hears that, it's a, you know, it's an amazing thing. It's in the kingdom of God, it's massively important. But here, the prophet said, this, you know, rebellion. So here's what happens. We open the door to demonic oppression when we live in continual disobedience. So people that are persistently disobedient in some part of their life, by that consistency of disobedience, they've opened. So rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. So there's a couple things here. So there's so many things. So Saul's authority, he's under God. When he rebelled against God, he came under different spirits. So in any kind of leadership role, whenever we rebel against God's order and against God's kingdom, whenever we leave the protection and the gracing of the kingdom of God, we become subject and vulnerable to other spirits. So when Saul disobeyed God, what happened? The Holy Spirit lifted off of him and a demonic power came upon him, because there's never a vacuum. So that's an important thing. So across the whole spectrum of life. So God honors authority. Okay? He honors authority. So if Jesus was going to come to America in a physical form, he would come in through authority structures. He would recognize government, church, different kinds of aspects of authority. God honors authority. When God confronted Adam and Eve in the garden for their sin, who did he begin with? The authority entrusted to Adam. When someone in authority is living in rebellion, they've unlocked by their rebellion demonic activity to everyone under their authority. So that's why in a home, when a parent or a father or a mother begins to do things in a rebellious way against God, all kinds of destructive powers begin to flood into that family, okay? So, I, you know, that's a whole series of messages right there. But when we obey God, when we surrender to the Lordship of Christ, the authority of God's Word, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, when we recognize authority, okay, when we submit to it in Christ, we're protected like a shield around us. And so every now and then, I love people. I'll pastor anybody that comes to this church. I'll love them. But I meet people and they'll say, I don't need a pastor. The church is crazy. I just got me and Jesus. Well, they're in rebellion. They're rejecting God's order. And they said, I don't need it that way. I'm going to do it my way. Well, good luck. Nobody beats God's system. There's no plan B. He has the church. He has the family. We can't create a new order of family. We can't create a new concept of the church that is foreign to Scripture. So rebellion unlocks witchcraft and all kinds of things. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 26, be angry but don't sin. I talked about this last night at our Bible college. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. When Mary and I were first married, we made a covenant never to go to bed angry at each other. And I tell people that's why I look tired all the time. Okay? We're not going to bed. No. So we've made, because we understood that our activity could open the door to the enemy. The next verse, neither give place to the devil. So I don't know about you. I have enough things going on. I don't need to give an open door to the devil and hassle me. Okay, or we give him a license. This topo is the Greek word, which means a license, an opportunity. So we don't want that in our life. So Saul gets into trouble. And then in the same chapter, here's what Saul says, okay? Now please get this. He could have repented. Remember David? David gets caught, murder, adultery, the whole, you know, the worst of life, the worst of sin. He massively and sincerely repents. Even when God said there would be judgment. So Saul's confronted. Instead of repenting, here's what Saul said. Hey, come with me, Samuel. Stand on the balcony with me so that everybody thinks everything's okay. When you're more concerned about what people think about you than what God thinks about you, you're in trouble. Okay? You're in an unhealthy cycle of behavior. So Saul's concern was, hey, let's act like everything's okay. See, at Church of the Nations, we want people to feel comfortable enough that you don't have to have a pretense. If you're hurting, tell someone. If you reveal it, Christ will heal it. This is a safe place. We're a hospital, not a museum. We're not admiring each other's perfection. We're helping each other get healed. And there's a difference in structure, okay? So Saul's issue was this compromise, was pride. Pridefulness is a form of idolatry. Okay? Stubbornness is the worship of your own will and ways. So, now get this. Here's what made Saul the most unhealthy. Leaders that need the approval of people will always end up losing the approval of God. Leaders that need the approval of people will always end up losing the approval of God. When a leader uses the approval of people to meet their own need for significance, they create an extremely unhealthy, harmful codependency. So you have to get this. So when you have authority or position or any kind of platform, there is a temporal reward. There's inside of you significance that's met. Well, this is really, you know, gosh, I'm important. So the problem is when you use people to meet your need instead of letting God meet your need, you keep people weak and immature so they need you all the time. So we create codependency. When you can't do anything without a leader, this person. God wants you to be strong. Aren't you glad when your kids, you know, became adults, get married and go on, and you don't want your 45-year-old son, living at home in the basement still? Oh, it's good. In nature, one of the great mammals is the eagle. And the eagle, they have eaglets, you know, one or two eaglets. And a eagle's nest is this massive, can weigh up to half a ton, this massive thing. And it's coated with fur from animals that the eagles killed. And so the eaglet is born into this beautiful, comfortable environment. The mother eagle goes out and hunts and kills and brings food and feeds the little eaglets. But after a while, they grow feathers. After a while, they're getting kind of big for the nest. And what the mother does is she starts pulling all the fur out of the nest. So all the branches that were there but unfelt suddenly are poking them. If you're in a season of divine discomfort, it's because God's helping you get out of the nest, okay? You got wings. Whew. And the really scary thing the mother eagle will do, she'll take one of these eaglets, put the eagle on its back, a little baby eagle on its back, go up thousands of feet in the sky, And the little eagle saying, I'm flying with mommy. Oh, it's so lovely. Oh, I'm going to the heavenly places with God. It's so perfect. And then all of a sudden, without warning, the mother eagle turns upside down and drops the little eaglet to the sky. The eaglet's falling down. Ah, I'm falling. And all the while it's falling, it's only falling because it hasn't used its wings yet. And somewhere between 5,000 feet in the ground, the little eagle sticks out his wings and says, I can fly. I can fly. So leadership helps people fly and doesn't keep them perpetually in the nest. Okay? Family, church, business, all of life. Healthy leaders do that. Whenever we care more about a reputation, that's what people think of us, more than our integrity, what God thinks of us, we become unhealthy, unhappy, and then ultimately unusable to God. So on the same day in the book of Acts, Paul's at Lystra. A lame man is healed that never walked. He's walking, praising God. And the pagans there said, that's Zeus and that's Jupiter. They start worshiping Paul as a god. And Luke says they barely constrained them from worshiping them. So in the morning they're worshipped as gods. In the afternoon, some Jewish jilts cuts up to them and stone Paul to death. In the same day, he's worshipped as a god and stoned as a heretic. You can't allow people's approval or disapproval to ruin your life. If you live off of people's approval, you've put them in God's place in your life. And it's just a matter of time till God will wean you from the oxygen of people's acceptance and approval because he wants you to get it from him. If you allow people, if people's rejection of you, the Bible says in Proverbs, the fear of man brings a snare. You can't make decisions. When God's leading you to do something, you can't let what you think about people stop you from obeying what God has for your life. Thank you, two of you. I'm honored to be in this Episcopalian church tonight. Okay. So, in chapter 16, so here's what happens now. The Holy Spirit lifts off of Saul, making him vulnerable. Demonic powers come. So, in chapter 16, Samuel the prophet's very upset because he's living in regret. The greatest disappointment in life is missed opportunity. I grew up in Phoenix my whole life. It's always fun to talk to old timers when we talk about, oh my God, if I just would have bought that ranch, I could have bought that thing up on Shea Boulevard for $500 an acre. You know, that kind of stuff. So missed opportunity, okay, causes the most regret in life. It's the greatest disappointment in life. And so Saul's deeply wounded by Samuel missing his potential. And the Lord said, how long will you mourn for Saul? Now please get this. God's will cannot be forfeited by disobedient people. God will wait people out. God waited 40 years for a whole generation to die and raised up another generation and said to them, oh, by the way, read previous instructions. Just do what they were supposed to do. Okay? Nobody's going to change God's mind about what he has for Phoenix, for your life, for your family, for this generation, for the body of Christ. He will wait till he finds somebody that will believe it. I don't know about you. I want to be on the believing side. Okay, God, whatever you want to do. So how long will you mourn for Saul? He said, go to Jesse's house. I found me a king there. Here's what he said in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Don't look at the outside. Don't look at the appearance or at his physical stature because I've refused him. I'm talking about Saul, 6'5". For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God's a heart God. And it was probably about 10 years ago now, preaching away, and this guy was in a church with long dreadlocks, and he tattoos everywhere. His hands had tattoos on him. So I'm preaching, and God starts speaking prophetically about that guy. And he says, you know, that guy's going to shake the whole world for me. I said, are you sure? I don't mean to criticize your judgment, but have you seen him? He's got dreadlocks and pats. So basically I stopped preaching. Come down. I pray for this guy. God's going to, you're going to shake the world. The whole world's going to hear your voice. Your witness is going to shine this generation. And so the whole time I prophesy, I have to turn off my mind because my mind's saying, what are you doing? And so anyways, I did it. You know, I ran back up to the stage. Oh, God. So after church, had about 10 young people. Pastor, do you know where that guy was you prayed for? You mean the dreadlock guy? Yeah, that guy. You know, that's Brian Welsh, the bass player for Korn. I said, like the crop? The vegetable? No, the band. Korn, the band. So anyways, that guy, you know, Brian belonged to our church 5 or 6 years, radically. I mean, just poured into, you know, he was, you know, sat here and we protected him, allowed him to grow. And now he's shaking the world again for Jesus. My whole point is this. Don't allow what you see on the outside ever to steal from you what God will show you on the inside of someone who someone is. Okay? We make all these judgments, you know, superficial, and many of them stop us from seeing what God has for somebody. So anyways, David is anointed as king of Israel. Now, he's just a kid. Now listen to me. God anoints you early for what he's assigned you late. When people try to advance the season and say, well, I'm ready for my assignment, the same God that anointed you knows how to fulfill your assignment. So David waited for over a decade, for God to lead him into the full measure of his destiny. Okay? God's a heart God. And God cares about our hearts. Now, what happened with Saul, I'm talking to you like 6 chapters of scripture. So Saul would come under tremendous oppression. Why? Rebellion and witchcraft. So he's living, he's unrepentant. And because he's unrepentant, he's disconnected from God and he's just being oppressed. And so they found David. David wasn't just a warrior, he was a worshiper. And David would come in and play his harp. And when David played his harp, the evil spirit would leave Saul. Now, this is massively important. God wants you to carry with you the power of atmospheric transformation. That when you walk into someone's life that's oppressed, that spirit leaves them just because you're there. The other aspect of it is this. You can worship devils out of your life. You can worship devils. Now, people that are oppressed. So anyways, there's a whole lot to that. I want to advance my story. I'm going too slow tonight. I'm in trouble. So David kills Goliath. And when he came back home, the whole city of Jerusalem is having a massive celebration. Woo! And here's the song the ladies are singing. Saul has killed his thousands. David has 10,000s. Okay. Now that was true. So ultimately in life, giants define us. Our lives are defined by the size and strength of the giants we conquer or are conquered by. Saul's being defined because he was supposed to do what David did. Now, here's what Saul did. Saul said, how dare they ascribe greater promise to David than me? A unhealthy leader wages war against gifted people that they think can take their place. Okay? Unhealthy, insecure leaders will drive away the very people they're called to mentor, disciple, and raise up. So I work with pastors all the time. They're driving away their best leaders. Well, that guy, you know, he might take some of my people. Well, start another, you know, partner with them. Take another city with him. You can't keep driving away. You can't be insecure in the kingdom. Your job is to work yourself out of a job. Okay? That's our job. So Saul is just, you know, his bad behavior. Insecure and compromising leaders see other gifted people as threats instead of partners and heirs. So if you're under an unhealthy, it doesn't matter, your boss at work, in a school, in a family situation, in a church environment, you can be there and be doing nothing but letting your gift flow. And you come under threats or intimidation or criticism. Part of the reason is unhealthy leaders that haven't conquered their insecurities will wage war on anybody they see as a threat. Thank you. We don't want, listen, no matter what arena we're in, the things that was hard for me is like in my own extended family, how uncelebrated the victories I've won have been. And I still, to this day, can't get my mind around it. Why aren't they happy? Man, we are shaking the world from this church. What is so small in them they can't celebrate the big thing God's doing here? That's what a critical spirit is. Someone bound by rejection, insecurity, or their lack of fulfillment. And that allows you to fight against the very thing God's doing. Okay? So when I drive across town, I drive across churches. There's every church. I'm praying for them. I'm friends with every pastor, evangelical pastor, especially the larger pastors. We've been fellowshipping for 10 years. And I'm intimidated by not, when they have victories. Oh my God, I'm so happy. You with me? I'm so happy. We're on the same team. Their victories are our victories. That's the way it works. They're not my enemy. They're my family. We have to get this right. Okay? When God is with you, no unhealthy leader has the power to destroy you. Now, so that's covering 13 years of David's life. So what happens, Saul throws twice, really three times, he throws a spear at David. David's, you know, in serving him, and he tries to kill him in his rages. And then half an hour later, he's apologizing. Unhealthy leaders manipulate people through emotional activity. So David, you have to get this. You have to trust God to get you to where you're called to be, even when your life is under the influence of an unhealthy leader. So here's what happened. David eventually just runs for it. He's got to run for his life. He's literally living in the wilderness now. You know, some awesome men and family come to him, and you know, cool things happen. But two times, here's what happens. Saul has used the bathroom. Okay, so Saul's chasing David. David's hiding up there in the mountains. Saul goes up to a cave. David's in the cave in a dark corner. There comes Saul doing his business, you know, reading the Times, doing his business. David's so close, he reached over and grabbed a tassel of his robe and cut it off. And Saul goes back down, and David shouts down, holds up the tassel. I could have killed you, but I didn't. And in fact, here's what happened. David's heart smote him. Now I'm going to get somewhere. Because the devil wants to make you unhealthy because you've been under the influence of someone else who's unhealthy. The devil wants to make you bitter and angry and resentful and hateful and vengeful and then feeling like you can justify it. Well, they treat me bad. I know. Love them. Forgive them. Don't let someone else who's acting like a monster turn you into a monster. So David's heart smote him for doing a tiny thing. You have to get this. Because David recognized, ultimately, God will take him out whenever he wants to take him out. Whenever we try to remove leaders, instead of trusting God to remove them, we step into a place that is against the will of God. The audience went quiet. So, whenever we try to help poor old God out, we're gonna get rid of that, you know, politician, that pastor, that person. Whenever we've stepped into God's place. The Bible says authority comes from God. Even when they're messing up, you have to respect the position, even when you don't respect the person. That's how God works in authority. So David's heart smote him. Saul's trying to kill him. David cuts off a thread from his garment, Saul's garment, and David's convicted for it. Because David said, I know I'm not allowed to touch God's anointed. Okay. The temptation from the enemy is this. He's going to try to give you a justification for you to express bad behavior because someone else has been unhealthy to you. Here's what you got to do. Turn him over to Jesus. Turn him over to Jesus. I get kind of chronically disappointed with Christians that use their social media to constantly bash the political arena. Here's what we're supposed to do. Pray for them jokers, okay? We pray for them, okay? For 8 years, I prayed every day for President Obama. If you come to this church, you never heard me criticize him once. I'm not called to do that. I don't believe in a whole bunch of stuff. I'm, you know, massively pro-life. That's a big issue with me. I'm pro-family, a bunch of stuff. Doesn't matter. The Bible says pray for everybody in authority. Especially back then, they had ungodly pagan kings. And so I pray every day for President Trump. Why? When God sees me honoring authority, I get blessed. You have to get this. God will give you the blessing that someone in authority has kept from you when you keep honoring authority, even when it's unhealthy. They can't steal from you, but God will deliver to you. God will find a way to give it to you. I'm blessed even though I got that, you know, that situation. Okay? Ladies, you know, most women are more intuitively spiritual. Tons of them are more, they're more intelligent than their husbands. The Bible says, submit, recognize the authority in the home. God holds the man accountable. Recognize that. You're kidding, right? Have you met him? Now, how could you're not getting it. When you let God work on him, God can do miracles. When you're trying to fix them, instead of letting God have them, you're going to have a lifelong unhappy situation. I should have got in marriage. It was doing so good. Everybody was happy. Okay. It's God honors authority. Everybody say God honors authority. So David said, listen, this guy, how can you get more unhealthy than someone wanting to kill you? Now today, maybe someone doesn't have a bow or a spear or trying to kill you at the office, but maybe they're jealous, they conspire against you, they have agendas, they gossip, they're trying to destroy you. How do you handle that? You handle it like Christ. You love them, you forgive them, you refuse to become like them. You trust God. If God's not big enough to carry you through that season, then he's not worth serving. But of course he is. So give God the chance. The centurion said to Christ, I'm a man under authority. And I say to soldiers, go, and they go. You can't have authority unless you're under authority. And in the kingdom, the more authority you're under, the more authority you express. Last couple points. Saul literally prophesied to David, you're better than me. In these engagements they had, you're better than me. You've been more righteous than me. God's going to give you the kingdom. Saul saw spiritually who David was. But because his soul was so unhealthy, he couldn't release the blessing he was supposed to give him. David was supposed to be Saul's son, not his enemy. Last points. When you're having to deal with an unhealthy leader, do these things. Forgive them. Turn to someone and say, forgive them. How many of you have right now, somewhere in the proximity of your world experience, some unhealthy people? So many of you don't. God bless your holy names. So if you do, you're going to become more like Jesus. You're getting the chance to grow. Isn't that exciting? Never let bitterness poison your destiny. Okay, number two, completely put your trust in God for your life today and your destiny tomorrow. You have to trust God, even when people are acting crazy. Number three, never lower yourself to their level by waging war with them. Don't. Nehemiah said he's repairing the wall. He's hyping the wall. They're calling to him from the down. Come down here. He said, I can't come down. What I'm doing is too important. It's too important to follow Christ, to walk in love, to be a good Christian, than to descend down there in the natural. Anybody can be angry, hurtful, bitter, mean, jealous. Anybody can spew vengeance. It takes an overcoming believer to walk the high road, to love people when they're acting ugly towards you. So I have so many stories about situations, you know, in my own field of ministry, dealing with unhealthy leaders. And it's just unbelievable the damage that they can do. Number four, pray for unhealthy leaders. Pray for them. Pray for them. Why? You keep putting them in God's hands. Number two, God gives you love for everybody you pray for. I've run into, you know, some politicians and other people of influence. And the shocking thing is almost every one of them I'd been praying for years. I never scheduled an appointment, just ran into them in some social event or some travel. And just amazing opportunity God gave me. It's amazing how God will connect your life to the people you pray for. Okay, number five, learn from their mistakes. Purposely determined to refuse to be like someone you see as unhealthy. Now, how many of you, the only perfect parents I've ever met are couples that don't have kids. So, how many of you parents, when you're thinking, well, I'm going to parent differently than my parent. And then 15 years later, you said, I become my parent. You know, my God, what happened? So we want to learn from good and bad examples. And we can purposefully, intentionally direct our life on a path of difference, a different direction by saying, I'm not going to do that. Okay? So I've been in some really toxic religious environments, church environments, and Mary and I made covenants as a young couple. We're not going to live that way, and when we have a chance to lead, we're not going to lead that way, and we don't. And so we learned from other people's mistakes. Number six, don't let someone else turn you into who they've become. Now, this is so important. Because in life, the things you don't overcome. Okay, so in the valley, The giants you don't conquer. Let me say it like this. The small things you don't conquer at the bottom of the mountain reign over you when you reach the top of the mountain. And so we don't want to allow the replication. Now, here's how it works. You will become like the person you refuse to love. You will become like the person you refuse to forgive. Forgiveness and love allows you an escape mechanism from unhealthy leaders. Number seven, if we could interview David, you know, he's going through this 13-year period, the journey. David, how'd you make it through it? Here's what David would say. I worship my way through unhealthy people's relationships. No matter how unhealthy the climate of things around you, when you worship, you literally take a spiritual bath. You cleanse yourself and you cleanse the atmosphere. Worship changes the atmosphere. Worship changes the outcome. Worship changes us. So here's David. Most of his great psalms, his best music came during his worst time. He worshiped his way through it. And listen, I'm not belittling heartache and discouragement and all kinds of things. Man, oh man, I'm sorry if you're going through that. But don't let the devil take your worship. Like Pastor Christian said, when you can worship God for being good, when you're going through something that's really bad, you give the devil a black eye. Hey, would you stand on your feet with me tonight? Thanks for listening to me tonight. I'm literally like 2 pages in. I have 10 pages of notes. I'm over-prepared for tonight's lesson. But here's what I want us to do. Let's just practice what we preach tonight, okay? Either presently or in your past, no matter if it's current or a former thing. Man, if you're going through something tough, I have great sympathy for you, okay? Mary and I could give you stories. It'd be hard, you know, some of you might not believe some of the things we've had to deal with people in vocation, because you don't automatically assume that, you know, church leaders are unhealthy, but they're just like all of us, okay? If you don't deal with stuff in your heart, it becomes toxic and you become unhealthy, okay? Pain that is not healed forms a toxicity that makes you an unhealthy leader. And so that's why constantly allowing God to help us. So focus of prayer team, would you join me now front, please? If you have right now, would you just lift up a prayer and a couple of things? Just say, Lord, tonight I'm lifting up this situation to you, this person, this family, this business, this ministry, this school, this church, whatever it is, situation, and I'm putting it in your hands. And I just want you to know, Lord, I'm praying to you help them and heal them. Saul was brutally killed. You know, he became suicidal, but really an Amalekite killed him, because the things you don't kill, kill you. And when David heard that his enemy had died, David sat down and wept and mourned. And said, how the mighty have fallen. That's a tender leader. You with me? That was mistreated for 13 years by someone. And when they died, David's heart grieved for them. We want to keep our hearts tender and soft. Tender to God. So Lord, we pray for those people in our world. We forgive everybody. Come on. Just tell the Lord, God, I forgive this person. I bless them. I ask you to help them. God, remove from me, if you're a leader, you're battling any kind of pain or unhealthy activity, just say, Holy Spirit, take this out of me. Help me to represent Christ in such a loving way that my life is a reflection of him and not a distortion. Thank you, God, for helping us. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. There's literally no unjust treatment that God can't heal you from. There's no unhealthy leadership that you've been exposed to that God can't completely restore your life from. He can. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, there's five people here, and there was so much either mental or physical abuse in your childhood that it still has a marketed control on some of the way you view life or some of the emotions you feel about life. And I'm believing tonight for a miracle for you. That God refuses to grant your history authority over your destiny. And there's nothing you've been through that's bigger than Jesus. And if you say, Pastor, man, that's me. I've been through some rugged things. And I constantly deal with them. And man, if God could heal me, I'm ready. Just wave your hand if that's you. Because I'm believing tonight God's going to help you. Okay? Thank you for your honesty. Now I'm going to ask you to take a big, huge step. Trust us. Would you please let us pray for you at the altar, okay? So the rest of you lift your hands to heaven because I want these folks to not miss this moment in Christ and to get everything God has for them. Maybe some of the school can help me pray at the altar here too. Thank you, Jesus. We're getting miracles tonight. Come on, we're getting miracles in this place tonight. There are two people here. You regularly have nightmares about childhood. One of you, it was sexual abuse. The other one is physical abuse. And God is disrupting that traumatic presence from your life. He's taking it away. We'd love to pray for you. You come down for it. Everybody just lift your hands for heaven for just a minute. What? There's another 20 people or so that need to get this tonight resolved. God really wants to help them. He really wants to help them. Pastor Judy, can you help me down front too? Any other pastors, leaders, Pastor Bill? Yeah. How's it go? Faithful.
Faithful. You are.
Faithful, you always will be.
Faithful.
Come on, lift your hands to heaven and sing. Declare God's faithfulness.
Faithful, you are.
All your promises.
All your promises are yes and amen.
Faithful.
Faithful you are.
Faithful forever you will be. Another person's been diagnosed with a serious disease. You came by faith tonight, and one of you even said in the car, Jesus, I'm believing for a miracle tonight. I'm with you believing for that miracle. I'd love to pray for you right now. Just wave your hand at me if that's you, because I you know, if that's you, can you come forward and let me, I'm going to personally pray for you. You said I need a miracle, something serious in your body. And one was cancer, one was some other incurable or serious disease. Wave your hand at me if that's you. Come on. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Who is that? Thank you, Jesus. We're going to get a couple of miracles before I'm going to shut down here in 3 minutes. But I want to pray for someone here. Serious condition. Thank you, Jesus, that you're a miracle. I also see a tumor. I can't tell if it's in the brain or the neck. Who says, Pastor, that's me? Yeah, just come down. Come down, let me pray for you. Everybody, let's raise your hand, your prayers, your worship to God a couple more seconds. I really want to get this miracle. Faithful you are. Declare God's faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus. Faithful you are.
Faithful you are.
Faithful forever you will be.
Faithful forever you will be. Faithful.
as we stand here, the enemy is trying to provoke you, try to shake your trust in God, try to disrupt your peace. But I declare over your body the miracle power of Jesus Christ. And I loosen healing to you, sir, in the name of Jesus Christ. Declare that you're going to be a miracle man, declaring God's miracle power. God, thank you. This physical miracle is just the beginning of four other miracles flooding into this young man's life. Thank you, God. A season of miracles begins in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, everybody, faithful. Faithful. Declare it. Faithful forever you will be.
Faithful.
If you need prayer for any other reason tonight, for a physical healing, if you've never received the forgiving grace of God, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, please let us pray for you. All you have to do is receive. Say yes to Him. He's already said yes to you through Jesus. Jesus is the proof that God loves you. God wants you to know that love by receiving His forgiveness. We'd love to pray for you. Anyone else needing prayer, come forward. You're an awesome church. Have an awesome rest of your week. Bring somebody with you Sunday. Got a new series. It's going to be awesome. Tell someone next to you, Jesus really loves you. God bless you. You can buy tickets for the ladies' lunch next Thursday in the lobby. Don't miss with Winnie Perez. A great day. God bless you.
Faithful, you are. Yes, you are. Faithful, forever you will be. Faithful. Thank you, Lord. We say thank you, Lord. What a faithful God you are. We say thank you. We say thank you. Oh, I'm not losing hope, 'cause I know that my God is faithful. Do you know that your God is faithful?